Turn to Numbers 16. Numbers 16. You know, there's something in the atmosphere that gets our attention. And as it captures our attention, it wants us to react or to respond. To react or respond to whatever this is grabbing our thoughts and our attention. And I just want to let you know, it's not from the Holy Spirit. It is evil. It's grounded and rooted in evil and in this demonic kingdom of Satan. And if we respond and react, we respond and react by what we hear or receive. It can be from another party. It just could be from the atmosphere. But we're responding to it and we're reacting to it. And it gets our focus, our thoughts off of Christ, and it stops and halts our walk with Christ. And it's evil. It's evil. I'm going to read just one verse here, and then we're going to go through this chapter. You can follow along as you go, but I'm going to probably go off in different areas. Verse 1, it says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben." Usually I have other people read all this because I am terrible with these names. I just call on somebody. Come on, you're up. God's going to anoint you here, you know, as they struggle and stutter through these names. And then look at the last two words there. In King James it says, and all these guys, these three guys, it's really Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's. And it says, they took men. They took men. These were priests, and they took men. And they took them through words of influence. Evil words. It's conspiracy. And so many times we can be, we can react or respond to what we hear without knowing what kingdom it's from. We've all done it. Reacting and responding to a different kingdom. And these three men, they came against Moses and they came against authority. They came against him and they accused Moses of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, taking them to a wilderness to be a prince over these people. And I think about that. I'm saying, well, wouldn't you have a better plan than go to the wilderness? Wouldn't you, if that was your intention, would you have gone and taken them that way? And they're in this wilderness and in this situation. And when you're in it for 40 years, you murmur, you complain, and you start receiving things from a different kingdom. So they accused Moses and they accused Aaron. And the Bible says is after these accusations, after receiving these accusations and saying basically, we are just as holy as you. And that's what they were bringing up. We're separated too. We're just as holy as you. We can do this. And upon hearing these accusations, the Bible says that Moses' face hit the ground. And he put his face to the ground and he sought after God in these areas. And he came back to these people and said, listen, I want you to do this. Take the fire, put it in your censer. A censer was one of those long sticks, and they would put fire in it. And he says, and put incense in that. And tomorrow, let's all get together and let's see who God chooses. This is what we want to do. And Moses addressed these three and he said, do you think that it's a small thing? Do you think that it's a small thing that God picked you out amongst the congregation to minister to the congregation, to teach the congregation? Do you think that's a small chore? And we look at what God has called us to do and we look at others and we say, I'd rather do that. Instead of abiding in the calling that you were called in 1 Corinthians 7:20. And we want this job and that job and this job, but we don't want the responsibilities of those. We just want it. And we don't know why we want it. We just think that's more important. And I love the way Samuel led. He says he never led from above, he led with. And this is, a pastor should never be over people. They should minister amongst them, with them. But they see Moses way up because God was speaking to him and they seen themselves way down. They say, do you look at that as a small thing? Do you believe that is a small calling? And Moses called the men up to talk to him. And they said, we're not going up there. We're not going to talk to you. And they turned around and they said, Moses, do you think it's a small thing? Do you think it's a small thing that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to bring us into this wilderness to live amongst this? And it could have been a proper response to him. And to be a prince over us, do you think that is a small thing? And we don't see no land flowing of milk and honey. You haven't brought us into anything that we're seeing resembling what you said you're going to do. Instead, we are here in the wilderness with nothing. And that's pretty incredible. Because when things are going difficult in your life, you always go back to your past and try to find something better. Was where they came from better? They were in Egypt, and he says, is it a small thing that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey? They were slaves. They were in bondage. There was no flowing milk and honey for them. They didn't have any of that. But that's what they perceived and that's what they thought they were in. And that's what they thought they experienced. And now, he says, we don't have no inheritance. You haven't given us anything. And you took us from, that's where, in my mind, that's where I was. And that's called deception. Thinking that you have something that is not there. And thinking it's better than what God has you in. No matter what that is. And whatever situation that God has us in, remember, it's not a bad thing. And it's never a small thing. Whatever God has for you, it's never a small thing. It's a great thing. Like Keith prayed, the greatest thing is the presence of God, whatever that thing is. If I'm in the presence of God, I'm in the right place. If I'm in God's presence, all this wilderness doesn't matter. It's just a temporary thing, but to me it's permanent and my past was so much better. Really? You were enemies of God. You were a slave. And when you asked Pharaoh to, hey, let me go worship my God, what did he say? Build more bricks. That was the response. A matter of fact, straw. Use straw. the level got higher. And he says, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey?
Wow.
And then he said in verse 14, after he said that, he says, where are our fields? Where are our inheritance? Where are our vineyards? We will not come up there. We're not coming up. We're not going to speak. You know, Moses, I think it was all about restoration and bringing together and trying to deal through this. And this is a biblical way to do it. But they were to the point now where they didn't want any of this at all. And what this means is they were opposing authority. God has authority. He gives authority. He puts people in place in the body of Christ with different gifts to minister to the body. And whatever that is, it is not a small thing. It's never a small thing. So now, the very next day, they come with what they have. And in verse 18, it says, they took their censers, they put fire in them, they laid incense on them, and they stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. So they bring their censers, they bring their fire, they bring their incense. And it's funny is how they stand in the door of the congregation. And Jesus Christ is that door. And he's the entrance to the body of Christ, to the church. And only through Christ we are saved. And only through Christ we can enter in and enter out. It's only through Christ. And the Bible says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them. Korah gathered all the congregation. He gathered against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. He affected this entire group. Korah affected the entire congregation. He influenced all of them. And this is considered evil. This is considered evil. And evil is a place where Satan sets himself. It's a place where Satan sets himself. It's Satan's kingdom. It's Satan's military. It's Satan's government. That's evil, where Satan sits and places himself. And Satan does two things. He wants to blind the capacity of unbelievers so they can never receive Christ and get saved. But he does the same thing to believe. He limits the capacity of believers so they cannot walk with God and live in the Word of God. They'll live in their circumstances and they won't live in the presence of God. Satan's doing this. And it's evil. And this was evil here. The word in the Greek is krakos, evil. When you see the word evil in the Bible, there's different forms of evil. You must look into the Greek. Because the Bible's only going to say one word, evil. But krakos evil is evil that starts within. It's inward evil that takes place. And what's going to happen is this evil that was found in Satan and his was pride forms within the inside. And it can't stay there. And it must come out. And when it comes out, when it starts to, you're taking your evil that Satan has put within you and disrupting you, and you're going to affect others with it. When you start to affect others with that same evil, then it becomes poneros evil. It's called infectious evil. your words, your thoughts, your speaking, now not just affecting yourself. It's not just poisoning your own mind. You're now poisoning others. Poneros evil. And we can talk about this at the wrap. Great, great verses on this is in Isaiah 59. Talks about this. Poneros, infectious evil. Something that infects you, if you don't deal with that infection, what happens? It spreads. It spreads to other areas. It spreads to other parts of your body even. It can easily spread from one to another. And what Korah was doing is he was infectious evil into the minds of other people. He was spreading through the whole congregation. And everybody was turning against Moses because of infectious words. Satan did this with the angels. One third of them fell through infectious evil. Infecting others through what you think and what you thought. So God chooses Moses because he was God's man. God had a plan and he used Moses. Korah was used in another capacity. Korah and his friends didn't like that. They wanted a greater capacity. They wanted a bigger role. They wanted more or whatever. And because of that, because of the evilness that's within the heart, they started to spread infectious evil into other people. And people started to listen. And instead of saying that's not of God, they continued to entertain that. They entertained what they heard. And once they entertained what they heard, they started to believe it. And that's called conspiracy. It's a conspiracy that has taken place. And this is what's going on. So God says, back away from these people. Let me destroy them. And Moses hits the ground again. Face to the ground in humility. Even after all these attacks, personal attacks. What do you do with a personal attack? Do you respond and react like we said in the beginning? Because that's feeding evil. Evil's feeding evil. Moses hit the ground. Didn't even say nothing to him. He said all he had to say. He said, get your center, let God, let's see what God has to say. And he hits the ground and he starts to pray for the people that are conspiring against him. Amazing heart of God. Amazing heart after God. And God's going to punish these men. And there ended up being around 250 of them that became the leaders of this that were starting to affect others. See, you don't have to affect a whole group by yourself. I just need to infect somebody that's going to agree with what I say. And that person can affect others. Amazing. And it will spread. And God deals with these people. God deals with these 250, and the Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed these 250 men right up. Gone. Gone. That's it. That's gone. He makes Aaron as now, as far as going forward, the only one that will deal with the censer and with the incense. They'll only come through the seed of Aaron. And as he's doing this, the rest of the people that were infected. Now what would you think would happen after you've seen that God chooses the man he's called, swallows up those enemies against them? It seems like you would repent before God and ask for God's forgiveness. Not this group. They blame Moses. They blamed Moses for all that happened. They started coming against Moses again because infectious poneros evil must be dealt with the root. It's the only way to deal with this area. Moses still prayed for them. And God said, that's it. And as they start to go and attack Moses and Aaron again, God steps in and says, that's it. That is it. I am going to send a plague. Now, you think of the plagues that happened in Egypt and you think, well, that's what's going on here. And it could be. Because what it looks like, what's happening is it's like almost the death angel. that started to pass over. Remember the death angel and they applied the blood? That's look like what's happening here. And people are starting to die. God sends a plague upon them. He wants to wipe them all out. He wants to deal with every single one of them, and he sends a plague. And as this plague starts to go forth and people start to die, Moses, for the third time, hits the floor. This time in humility. Because there's nothing more that he can do. He's intercede for the people. He's praying for these people. Even though they did everything against him, even though they came against him and talked back and they received an evil report and they're murmuring and complaining against him, and where is our land flowing with milk and honey? And it's better off that we be in Egypt. And in Isaiah 31, it says, woe to them that say, let's go to Egypt. Because Egypt is the world system, and to wanting to go back to your old life after you've been saved and been delivered from Egypt, God said, let's just wipe them out. Let's just deal with them. And Moses is still before God. And he starts to hear the dying of the people. And Moses rises up and he goes to Aaron and he says, go to the altar. And this is always the answer. The answer is always at the altar. Go to the altar. And that speaks of the cross for us. It's the place of sacrifice. It's a place that Jesus Christ died for us and for our sins. And he says to Aaron, go to the altar and grab a coal from the altar. Put it in your censer. Put fire in that. And go and stand in between the people. And the Bible says that Aaron went and he stood in between those that have dead and those who are living. Did you get that? He stands before the dead and the living. He stands between the dead and the living with the sacrifice, with part of the sacrifice. And the Bible says, and the plague stopped. The death stopped. Aaron is standing between them. He's standing between the dead and the living. And only the high priest can make an atonement. Only the high priest can make the atonement. This is this new role that Aaron is now living in. But even in the New Testament, only the high priest can make the atonement in Hebrews 5:10. And that high priest is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ today stands between the dead and the living. And he gives us an opportunity to accept Christ freely. Freely. Just believe in Christ. Hey, listen, confess your sins and live. Confess and live. But we don't need to stand amongst the dead. And many are still going to choose that. But there is an intercessor. And this is what Aaron is doing. He's a type of Christ. He intercedes for the people before God. And God stops judgment. Before Christ, God will always stop judgment. To those that put their trust in Jesus Christ, God has stopped judgment. It stops right there. No more. No more plague. No more plague, just life. And Jesus' atonement and intercession for us was over judgment. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man. And that man is Jesus Christ. He is our intercession. There is no judgment after Christ. Judgment stops. Judgment is halted. And now there's living. An amazing example here in the Bible for us. An amazing example how God's judgment is stopped and halted because of one man. One man stood between death and life. And that's what happens for us today. One man is standing between death and life. There's not many ways. There's just one way. There's one way to God. There's only one mediator. There's only one man that stood in the gap for us. There was only one man that would go and stand between the dead and the living. And if that man did not go, that plague would continue to flow through and all of them would be wiped out. But this amazing mediator has amazing mercy with him. And he comes with mercy. And he's always waiting to forgive and heal. And thank God for that mediator that stands in this way. In Hebrews 8:16, he says there's a mediator of a better covenant. There's a mediator of a better covenant. We don't need to live in judgment. Judgment has been paid in full on the cross. Hebrews 7:25. He says he is that Jesus Christ, he saves to the uttermost, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ's purpose of living was to be an intercessor for us. And because of that, we are saved to the uttermost. What an amazing verse. Which means there's nothing that can come between us and Christ. Not even my sins. Not even my evil thoughts or projections or how I fail in different areas. Because Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. Completely in fullness and finished. And when that happens, when you accept Christ as your Savior, then the plague is stopped. That judgment is stopped. In the last days, Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. He says, evil men will always come and try to seduce those that haven't want to hear that. We must train our hearing, and this is why it's so important to learn what hearing really is, with a great capacity and a larger capacity to hear from the Holy Spirit. Because the bottom line is, it says that this is going to grow worse and worse. That this type of Poneros infectious evil is going to grow worse from worse. And these men that do it, they are deceived themselves, and they are there just to deceive others. It's amazing. So what are we hearing? What is the message? What is the voice? What is the message that we're hearing? And anything that is not from God, that does not line up with His word, is evil. And the intentions are evil. Krakos, evil from within. Poneros, evil that infects. Infects the minds. We must be in His book. We must be in His word. We must humble ourselves with our face to the grounds. We must pray for the people. Must pray for the church. Pray for body members. Many struggles, many hurts, many hindrances, much evil, entertaining evil, just playing with it a little bit, thinking about it. Oh, could this be true? That's weighing it out. Mm-hmm. Not good. We know the shepherd's voice. When that voice comes, we discard that evil. Don't entertain it. Don't listen to an evil report. There's no good intention from it. Oh, I'm just trying to help that person. I'm so concerned. No. No. Go to God with it. Go to God with your face to the ground with it. Because the enemy is so wicked. And he just looks for a little crack in. Thank God that we have an intercessor. Thank God we have one that goes before us and is praying for us. and he's our mediator. He's between God, and he gives us access into the throne room where we can go boldly to, again, to receive mercy and to receive grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for this amazing atonement that is in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the finished work. And because of that finished work, judgment is halted. There is no judgment to those that believe in Christ Jesus. We don't have to entertain that. We live in the finished work. We live in what Christ has given us. We get to operate in this amazing plan of God. Moses, that was the plan of God. We do not alter God's plan. We don't do the plan. The plan is God's. We just live in it. Help us not to respond or to react to things that are not from the kingdom of heaven. These things are evil. They are not from the Spirit. The Spirit of God will confirm his word in your heart, and it will line up with the word of God in the book. That's how he speaks to us. We just love you, Lord, today. We thank you, Father. Touch your people. Bless their hearts, Lord. Minister to their lives. Change situations miraculously by your word. Speak it into the atmosphere. There is no place for evil. There is place for the living God. And we are to learn to live by every word of God, because it is written. And because it's written in heaven, Jesus spoke it. It's written in our hearts. We believe it. It's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just pray for the offering and those who are that have within their heart also to give to Haiti because of the great needs that are arising there. And we'll tell you about what happened at the wrap. We love you. We thank you for your word and your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's just...